Each summer, visitors flood Wakulla Springs State Park to swim through the deep, cool water, spot the manatees, and watch the anhinga fish.
You could see everything crystal clear. The whole bottom was clear. All the plant life you could see floating, waving. Now it's covered in algae, so you know you don't really get to see any of that.
That's Lewis Poppelreiter. He and his family drove from Panama City Beach to come to the park because they heard the glass bottom boat tour would be running, a rare occurrence lately.
As we get over toward this side of the spring, guys, there's a little bit more that's reminiscent of the old school glass bottom boat tour.
It's so rare, in fact, there's a semi-permanent sign zip-tied to the ranger station on most days that reads "No glass bottom boat tours today." Poppelreiter says he has fond memories of the boat, so when he heard they'd be running again, he jumped at the chance for another ride. But he says it just wasn't the same.
It's very sad, and it's very sad what we saw out there with the amount of algae growth.
And Florida Spring Institute President Bob Knight says that, combined with decreased flows from people pumping too much water out of aquifers, is posing a serious threat to what he calls the first tourist attraction of Florida, springs.
So when you reduce flow in a river, you reduce the productivity of everything in it. You reduce the productivity of the plants and the fish and all the wildlife that depend on the river. You reduce the ability of the river to support recreation and aesthetic properties.
Knight says under state law, there's supposed to be a limit on how much water people can pump out of the underground aquifers and rivers. They're called minimum flow standards.
I guess the way to explain it to somebody is this is like the minimum standards to graduate from high school. If you have anything less than this minimum flow, this river does not pass muster, and it needs to be fixed. It needs to have remediation. It needs to be recovered. It's sort of a bad target. It'd be much better to set adequate flows and a reserve flow for these rivers.
And in addition to setting those minimum flow standards, the Florida Department of Environmental Protection is also working on setting limits for nutrients in the water. Deputy Director for Water Policy and Ecosystem Restoration, Drew Bartlett, says his department is working with farmers to help them use water more efficiently.
You can, you know, stand there like you do in your yard with a hose and just spray in the hose, or you could lay down a soaker hose that drips water, you know, at the roots, and it gets it right to the roots. And so you're not putting excess water out there that the plants aren't even taking advantage of.
But Bob Knight with the Spring Institute says some of those efforts are hurting more than they're helping. On the road to Ginny Springs, he points out one such farm.
They're losing, I would estimate, somewhere between 50 and 70% of the fertilizer, in spite of that, into the ground. And that's heading straight for Ginny Springs and the Ginny Springs group. And that water that's coming out of the sprinkler is water that would have come out of Ginny Springs. This is, I mean, the reality. It's right in front of your face.
Knight says the farmer is pumping water straight out of the underground aquifer, which means he's not paying for it and doesn't have a big incentive to make sure it doesn't go to waste. And the fertilizer Knight's talking about is one of the biggest culprits for the nitrogen that's causing pollution and algae growth in many springs. Ginny Springs owner Mark Ray says he's worried about the herbicides that could be coming into his springs, too. Ray says his water used to be crystal clear. The bottom was covered in eelgrass with a sugar-white sand path down the middle.
If you look at this thing right now, it's still very beautiful. But what's missing is all the plant life is gone. And I say basically, that would pretty much be all. And what has it taken its place is all this green algae and brown algae that you see on the bottom.
Without healthy vegetation, Ray says his spring is in trouble.
You know, this is Mother Nature. I mean, there's certain things that need to happen in here. We need the grasses for the turtles to eat. I mean, that's literally their meal for a lot of turtles. We need it for the fish. We need it for all the other little organisms.
Ray says while his visitors might be happy not to have grass tangle in their tubes, they won't be happy when there are no fish or animals to enjoy, which he says would also mean bad news for his business. Ray suspects the loss of vegetation is probably linked with the use of herbicides in nearby fields. But Tom Frick, the director of the DEP's Environmental Assessment and Restoration Division, says he doesn't think the concentration of herbicides in the water is a big problem.
You're looking at very, very low concentrations, and we just don't see that problem you know, in our springs across the state, because there's literally hundreds of, you know, millions of gallons that are coming out, you know, daily out of these systems.
Meanwhile, Altamont Springs Republican Senator David Simmons is working with a group of lawmakers to draft a bill for the coming session that would put standards and timelines in place for protection and restoration efforts that have sometimes been sluggish.
We're trying to come up with a feasible, reasonable solution. One solution, however, is not acceptable, and that is to do nothing.
Meanwhile, Knight says he hopes Simmons' bill gets serious consideration, but he worries about the impact a pushback from big industries like utilities and agriculture could have.
Everything's so taboo nowadays, there's always some interest group against you.
But Knight says even though sometimes he feels like Don Quixote tilting at windmills, he's not giving up. He says eventually he has to win. He has the high ground. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Regan McCarthy.